The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
And Jesus went on to say, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. Whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has taken them out on his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize that he was trying to tell them something special. So Jesus said again, Amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Sunday. And the theme of the gospel reading has to do with trust. The trust the sheep have in the shepherd. I've chosen that as a basic theme for our reflection today, the notion of trust, which appears here in the manner in which the sheep trust the shepherd. One or two exegetical comments about the Gospel of John, and we have looked at this many times in the past. The Johannine Jesus, the Gospel of John telling us about Jesus, speaks more about Jesus' divinity. The Johannine Jesus is very powerful. He is the one that says, nobody takes my life. I lay down my life. And I take it up again. The Johannine Jesus is never quite in crisis. He demonstrates and witnesses for us gospel power. The power of the Johannine Jesus is the power of compassion. It's the power of forgiveness, the power of generosity, the power that does not conquer, but transforms. It's in Greek, it's called exousia, and we've spoken about that in the past, various kinds of power. But the power of the Johannine Jesus, in a special way, is the power of forgiveness, compassion, caring, inclusion, generosity. And therefore, Jesus loved sinners. He called sinners. There's a very stunning reference in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus dines with tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees are scandalized. And they say, how could he dine with those who are known to be public sinners? Jesus rebukes them, quoting from the prophet Hosea, 700 years before Christ. And he says to them, go and learn the meaning of the saying, It is love that I desire, not sacrifice. That's the mission of Jesus Christ, especially emphasized in the powerful Jesus in the Gospel of John. So let me look at this and wonder what it means to us. In your own life, whom do you trust? And is there somebody who really trusts you? The person you trust will be the one who makes no judgment about you, the one to whom you can tell your secret, the place where you can be human, broken, weak, the place where you can share your failure and you will be embraced. It's a place of patience. It's that special place where somebody meets you where you are, not where you should be or you might be, but somehow understands the human condition and shares with you the special moments in which trust is desperately needed. It's the place where you can tell your secret, knowing that it will be safe. Perhaps it's the place where you can cry without apology, for the person will cry with you. That's the place of trust. So what does the Word of God say to us about this? I want to invite you to look at the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John in order to understand how this notion of trust fits into meeting Jesus Christ. The setting is at Tagba, and I know many of you pilgrims have been to Tagba on the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's a scenic place, and I have said many times, if I can choose a place to die, I want to die at Tagba. Not so much because it's a beautiful place, but the teaching is so powerful given to us at Tagba. The setting is Peter and six others, disciples of Jesus, have abandoned Jesus. They gave up on Jesus. He suffered and he died, and they lost all confidence in Jesus. And so they go back to what they knew most and best, which was fishing. So Peter says to the others, I am going fishing, and the others say, we will go with you. And they launch out into the Sea of Galilee, and they fish all night long. And in the morning, as the sun is rising, Jesus stands on the shore, but they don't recognize Jesus. And he speaks to them and he says, have you caught anything? And they say, no, we have not caught anything. And he says, cast your nets on the starboard side and you will make a catch. And they do, and they make a great catch, and they haul ashore the nets with their great catch. And the beloved disciple among those says, it is the Lord. And now they knew it was the Lord, and they come ashore, and Jesus has a fire lighted there, and they have breakfast. And after breakfast, Jesus takes Peter aside, and he will ask him three times if he loves him. Three times is important because just days before, in front of a fire, Jesus, at the house of Caiaphas, Peter denies that he knows Jesus three times. And now in front of a fire, three times, he will profess his love for Jesus. What's interesting here, however, is the Greek words that are used. There are various words in Greek for love. In the English language, love is very elusive. I love my country, I love my car, I love my dog, I love my wife. I'm not sure exactly what it means. Sometimes it can be very confusing, but not in the Greek. And there are two Greek words used here in the conversation between Jesus and Peter. One is philein, which for our conversation here will take to be a human love, sincere, generous, but human and limited. Sometimes it's called brotherly love. Adelphos in Greek means brother, so philein adelphos gives us Philadelphia, the brotherly love. That's the first Greek verb that's used here, is philein. The second one is agapan, which for our conversation means a great self-donation, sacrificial, unconditional type of love. And here's how the conversation goes. Jesus says to Peter, Simon, he doesn't call him Peter now, he calls him Simon. It's the human person. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he uses agapan, do you love me with a great love? Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you with a human, broken, struggling love. He uses philein. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. And a second time, Jesus asks him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Agapan, with a great love. Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you with a human, struggling, broken love. And Jesus says, tend my sheep. And a third time, Jesus asks him. But the third time, Jesus changes the words. And he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Philein. Do you love me with a human, broken, struggling love, sincere but limited? And Peter says, Lord, you know everything. You know well that I love you with a human, broken, struggling, but sincere love. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus knew that Peter loved him. But Peter didn't know that Peter loved him. He lost confidence. The teaching here is the human struggling love was enough for Jesus. It's a broken love. It's so human. It's not perfect. It's enough for Jesus. Whoever you are out there, you're young, you're confused, you're struggling in life. You're out there, you're searching for some meaning in your life. You're searching for an experience of God. And Jesus says, your struggling, human, limited love, it's enough. That's all you can give me. I accept that as a gift. And if this human broken love is enough for Jesus, is it enough for me, in my family? The struggling human love, it's enough for Jesus. Is that enough for me? Or do I demand more than you can give? See, Peter had to fail If he didn't fail, he wouldn't understand Jesus. In the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, there's a marvelous blessing that Jesus gives to Peter. He calls him Simon, the human. Simon, Simon, Satan has sought to take you and to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and after you have repented, then you will strengthen your brothers. You must fail first. You must repent. You must experience Jesus Christ. Only then can you strengthen your brothers. That's the first pope. You will remember that parable about the man who had 100 sheep and one wanders off. You'll find in the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and in Matthew it's in chapter 18. So go and read that. And Jesus goes, or the shepherd, goes and finds the lost sheep and brings the lost sheep back. There is more rejoicing, the story tells us, over the one who was lost than over the 99 which had no need of redemption. Why is that? Only the one who was lost experienced the love of the shepherd. So wherever your struggle is in your life, it's a holy place. It's a place where the infinite love of God will touch you, whoever you are. When you lose confidence and you lose hope and you want to give up on the Lord, Jesus called you, says, you belong. My love is sufficient to embrace you, to bless you, and to love you. Not only sufficient for you, but once you have experienced the power of Jesus Christ loving you, only then will you be empowered to accept the limited love offered to you by others. In your family, people don't meet your expectations. In your marriage, it's not entirely fulfilling, but somebody is gifting you with all they have, all they are capable of sharing. It's broken, it's limited. It's filling. It's enough for Jesus. Is it enough for us? Can I trust you with my broken love? Can I trust you with my limitations? Bigger question, perhaps. Can I trust God, Jesus, with my humanity? There is a nice metaphor that Pope Francis uses and says the shepherd must have the smell of the sheep. The shepherd must be human, must understand and feel and share the journey of humanity. Otherwise, not the true shepherd. The shepherd is the one you can trust. And Jesus is the shepherd that wherever you are in your life, you can trust the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Now I'd like to pray with you. So wherever you are in your home, put down your cup of coffee. Be alone. Listen to your voice speaking to you in this prayer. Take a deep breath. Become conscious of the presence of God. Be alone. Be peaceful. Close your eyes and listen to the prayer . The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. Though I walk in a dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me comfort. You have prepared a banquet for me in the sight of my foes. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. Why should I fear? Why should I be anxious? Knowing that you are with me, you give me strength, you give me courage, you lift me up beyond all the anxieties and the fears, the impatience which surrounds me. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want.